Chapter 8. Steam from its beginning has a fact in human consciousness to the perfection of the great turbine engines that preceded the utilization of intramolecular power. Nearly every human being must have seen steam, seen it incuriously for many thousands of years. The women in particular were always heating water, boiling it, seeing it boil away, seeing the lids of vessels dance with its fury. Millions of people at different times must have watched steam pitching rocks out of volcanoes like cricket balls, and blowing pumice into foam, and yet you may search the whole human record through letters, books, inscriptions, pictures, for any glimmer of a realization that here was force, here was strength to borrow and use. Then suddenly man woke up to it. The railway spread like a network over the globe. The ever-enlarging iron steamships began their staggering fight against wind and wave. Steam was the first comer in the new powers. It was the beginning of the age of energy that was to close the long history of the warring states. But for a long time men did not realize the importance of this novelty. They would not recognize, they were not able to recognize, that anything fundamental had happened to their immemorial necessities. They called the steam engine the iron horse and pretended that they had made the most partial of substitutions. Steam machinery and factory production were visibly revolutionizing the conditions of industrial production. Population was streaming steadily in from the countryside and concentrating in hitherto unthought of masses about a few city centers. Food was coming to them over enormous distances upon a scale that made the one sole precedent, the corn ships of Imperial Rome, a petty incident, and a huge migration of peoples between Europe and Western Asia and America was in progress. And nobody seems to have realized that something new had come into human life, a strange swirl different altogether from any previous circling and mutation, a swirl like the swirl when at last the lock gates begin to open after a long phase of accumulating water and eddying inactivity. The sober Englishman at the close of the 19th century could sit at his breakfast table, decide between tea from Ceylon or coffee from Brazil, devour an egg from France with some Danish ham, or eat a New Zealand chop, wind up his breakfast with a West Indian banana, glance at the latest telegrams from all the world, scrutinize the prices current of his geographically distributed investments in South Africa, Japan, and Egypt, and tell the two children he had begotten in the place of his father's eight that he thought the world changed very little. They must play cricket, keep their hair cut, go to the old school he had gone to, shirk the lessons he had shirked, learn a few scraps of Horace and Virgil and Homer for the confusion of cats, and all would be well with them. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.